Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. Over here you have...
Ben Vanell. Thanks for welcoming me to the show, Tom.
And next to him you have...
It's me, Adam Knox. you gestured really... I thought you were just throwing your hand up in your air.
In what? My air.
In the air.
In my personal airspace. Yeah.
The air around you is your air.
Your rarefied air.
If they say this missile entered Japanese airspace.
Yeah.
It's Japan's air.
Well, true. Listeners don't know this, but I have a permanent condition where I'm extremely ill. So I'm like the boy in the bubble when we record these things. So I'm sitting in my own little pressurized cabin that's like got my own little air in it. So you're right, I did put my
every
hand
now
up
and
in
again,
my
you put your hand up to tap it just to test it like a velociraptor in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I'm just worried it's going to burst and then I'll die immediately. Big episode of the show today. Lots to talk about, but first of all, some big news for the show. Hang on, what's that? It's the big news bell.
Bong.
Yeah, man. There it is. 4:20.
Hey, bro. I know what time that means. It is Big Ben may be shut down, but Big Bong's still here, baby.
Nice.
Little Ben's certainly not shut down. Little Ben's here and ready to talk video games.
You do have a boner.
This show is now officially, as of today, on Patreon.
Yes.
So if you like this. Whatever this is, you
and what a
can
case we've made for it.
If you enjoy the show every week and you want to chip in, you are now more than welcome to do that.
Yes.
Patreon.com/filthycasuals.
Dunno.
I'll look it up while we're
talking. That's how hot off the presses this is. We haven't even. Rare for us, we haven't even learned the URL yet.
Yeah, I refuse to ever learn it.
filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find a link to that. But we are now on Patreon. We have a bunch of great rewards for certain tiers, including a private Facebook group that we started up today.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing bonus episodes every month that are like a book club, except it's about games.
Yep.
So we'll kind of, we'll kind of announce in the Facebook group what the game for that month is going to be, and then you are welcome to kind of play along with us and we'll sort of chew into it. It'll be mostly kind of older stuff that's, you know, not really going to come up on the show in any other capacity.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a bunch of, it's like the Facebook group is basically like a forum that we're running, but we can't run a forum right now. So.
We tried to set up a message board, but didn't work. That's already been fun today with a bunch of people in there contributing.
Yeah.
A lot of good chat happening already. So.
Yeah. So to be clear, there's a bunch of tiers, but $5 you get into the group and $10 you get the bonus episode. But we'll kind of talk about the bonus episode in the group and a bunch of other stuff. People are just introducing themselves. They're talking about what they've been playing lately. Yeah. It's been really fun.
There's a lot of other stuff that we won't go into all the tiers now, but you can find. We've tried to really make it a lot of good stuff that's worth your while. And we have a goal that once we hit that goal, we are going to start producing video content.
Yes.
So even if the rewards do not interest you, if you're someone who's been hitting us up wanting us to start making videos, this is a way that you can help make that happen, because this show is a lot of fun and it's great that people like it, but it is it's quite time consuming and quite costly. So if we can get to that target, that'll mean that we have the time to afford to do these videos. And we've been talking about it for months. We've got a bunch of great ideas up our sleeve.
Yeah.
So
you can find all this and more at patreon.com/kindoffunny patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Nice.
Great.
Real good.
And big fucking thanks to that sounded sarcastic because I said fucking in the middle.
Well, big whoop-de-doo. Big fucking deal.
Huge thank you to everyone who's already patronized us.
Yeah.
That sounded good, that last one you did, because this is the problem I have on my other podcast. Every time I go to say the phrase thank you to everyone that contributes, I can't say it without it sounding sarcastic. And then I have to do this thing where I backpedal and go, oh, I know that sounded sarcastic, but I really mean it. And then I'm like, now that sounds worse, because I say it exactly that same way.
Is that why your intros take half an hour now?
Yes, it's true. That's a big thing we want to point out. If you are someone that listens to the Little Dum Dum Club as well, there will be no reading out of names on this show. No. So rest assured, being on Patreon isn't going to ruin this show in the way that it did the other podcasts that I'm involved in. Huge thanks to everyone who's chipped in already. That was it's very nice to put that up and sort of see that kind of slowly filtering in when we haven't even really plugged it that hard yet.
Yeah, and the community in the Facebook group it's already like heaps of people in there talking to each other, getting to know each other.
Yeah, I've already been abused about talking about Zelda too much about 8 times. So what a wonderful group.
Yes.
Get on that if you want to chip in and you want to see video content. It's time to go over to our sexy news reporter, Adam Knox.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were talking about anybody else.
The Lavinia of this podcast. Yes. What do you got for us?
Here it is. It's me, Carrie. From like, the film Carrie. Not Pickmore.
Here's a bucket of pig's blood.
There's been like a whole bunch of news in the last week.
There was a bunch of news that came out like the day after we recorded.
Classic.
And before we put up the podcast as well.
Yeah, so the last 2 weeks we've been doing this a few days out, which is very precarious territory.
Yes.
But we're back to doing this with just a scant 24 hours with which to have the rug pulled out from underneath us.
Yeah, as we know, the video games news cycle moves really slowly, so this is still going to be fine.
Yeah. What happened immediately after last week's one?
So Bill Gates came out. He's stopped doing his charity stuff and he's working on Age of Empires 4.
Yep.
Now they announced.
So he had to sacrifice the charity stuff to get Age of Empires 4 off the ground.
Malaria back on the table.
But Age of Empires franchise also back on the table.
Yeah. It kind of cancels each other out.
Yeah, exactly. There's not really any information about it. Relic are making it, who did those Dawn of War.
Yeah,
games.
The Warhammer 40,000 games. Yeah,
There's nothing really to say about it other than it's happening at this point.
When was, and I'm looking at you and asking you because you will know, when did Age of Empires 3 come out?
2005.
Well, Ben. Oh.
That was 2005.
Fuck, and that's 12 years ago.
Wasn't particularly, 2005 when I was 15.
18.
19.
16. And
you were two ages? I guess we all...
Everyone is two ages in every single year.
Two ages of empires.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
There was this thing in... Because they haven't said like what era it'll be in, but the first one was like...
The swinging 60s, baby.
That'd be great. It's cops versus hippies.
Great. Hell yeah.
I got the Beatlemania power up. Now I'm building a big fucking drug den. What did they have?
Join in on this riff because I barely know what those games are. They're top down kind of.
They're real time strategy.
Real time strategy. Yeah. Okay. RTS.
Top down for the boys. They were great. One and two
top
at least.
Top down, strategy up. That's the way we like to fuck.
It's been, a long time. The third one wasn't particularly well received, especially because the second... Well, they did like an HD version
sort
of the
a
second
bit like,
one.
Bit like me during a mail strike and a letter from my dad.
Yeah?
Not well received.
Okay.
Oh. Cool.
No, I got it. Okay, I got
Patreon.
A new one.
Patreon.com.
No, I got a new one. It's like me chipping in money to an African village that doesn't have clean drinking water.
Ah.
Well received.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Opposite of the reaction to that joke. Well received.
Yes. There we go.
Yeah.
It was all part of my master plan. So the third one, people not into?
Yeah, that was in the American Civil War. No, not the Civil War. The Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah.
That game did come out a while ago.
The second one.
He's back.
That was much more well.
The second one is kind of regarded as one of... possibly the best real-time strategy game of all time.
It was great.
Yeah.
And I got it free in a cereal box, I believe. That was
befitting
the first
a game of its stature.
Yeah. It was one of those games that it was just ubiquitous. Like, it was just everyone had it. If you had a PC, you played it. Even if you didn't like it, you played it.
Was the age...
There was a comedy night recently here
In Ben's apartment.
In Brunswick somewhere, where I wasn't here, but a friend took a photo of the show, and there was a guy at the bar with a laptop playing Age of Empires.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Instead of watching, that's how good it is.
That's great.
It's better than medium comedy.
Would Age of Empires 2 being slid into the cereal box, would that have been up there with like U2 releasing their album onto everyone's iTunes?
I think it actually
might. Your cornflakes like, I don't want this fucking game. Yeah. What are they trying to do here?
Bono rolls out of it like, hey, what's up? Every time you eat a cornflake, a kid dies.
That's a great Bono impression. Yeah, did the accent and everything.
Have you ever heard his real voice?
Mm-hmm. Many times.
Yeah.
In all of the songs. That's his real voice. That's his real voice in singing mode.
Yeah, you open the cereal box and he goes, hello, hello. Yeah.
Nice. Now, how is that any worse than the well thing that I did? I mean, any better?
I think it's just as bad.
They're both equal. People's ears what that U2 album did to, I guess, people's ears.
Very, very good.
Yeah. I think it was Age of Empires 1 that was in the thing.
Okay. Changing your story now, are you?
I am remembering more details. And also...
Sounds like someone's in bed with big frosties.
They had Tony Hawk's 2 was one of the other ones.
Ah, yes.
Or Tony Hawk's 1.
You know what? We've talked about this game on the show before. For the book club Patreon thing, we've got to do the Milo skateboarding game.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to do that. There was a PC game that you could get if you send away like 10 Milo labels.
Yeah,
you'd get like a CD-ROM game where it's you in like Death Valley and you do all these skateboarding tricks.
In Nutri-Grain boxes once.
Yes.
They put in CDs for not really a game, but like music making software.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it just had little loops and stuff that you together.
Fruit Loops.
And
if you will.
I remember my proudest
Adam.
Creation. No, I understood.
Why didn't you laugh?
My proudest creation with that music maker was I created a theme song for a TV show spin-off from Buffy focusing on the character of Giles.
Okay.
And I listened to it about 100 times, imagining that I would one day embarrass...
Do a bit of it for us.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to do it.
It was like... Bow. It was had guitar in it.
That's Seinfeld. That first note you did is Seinfeld.
It also kind of sounded like the start of the Buffy theme song.
Yeah. Well, no, and Angel and Buffy sounded kind of similar.
Yeah,
they had
a
similar well, not really, actually. Anyway, it was...
Interesting that you're a fan of Buffy since it's come out in the last week, that is now known misogynist propaganda, you fucking scumbag.
I've been a fan of Buffy for exactly 1 week. It's been all those things were good, and then Age of Empires 2, right? They did an HD version of.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about video games
like 3 years ago, and they released like two more new expansions for it in the last year as well. So people still fucking love that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And a fourth one is a cool concept. I hope that it doesn't go the route because Relic made a new Dawn of War game this year, and it was kind of more Dota-y.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really hope they don't do that to the Age of Empires one.
Yeah, even the initial Dawn of War games, it was more squad-based than, you know, like a massive StarCraft kind of RTS thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But then, an Age of Empires version of that could be cool.
Maybe. But focusing on heroes, you know what I mean? Like, having, like... King Arthur on the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that shit would.
That was a great Bono, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Boy, for a game that there is literally no information out there about, we sure talked about this for a long time.
Get ready for another one. Shenmue 3 had a new trailer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we just watched that then. The trailer is objectively no good.
Well, and so Yu Suzuki, who's the guy who is directing it, like...
What did you call me?
You're a medium car. Suzuki's any good?
Nah.
Are they a car?
I smell another Twitter poll. Is Rip Torn dead? Did the Nox's dad baboon story happen? Are Suzuki's a good car?
That's just market research. I don't want to do that. But he came out and said, like, it's not finished. Fuck off.
Yeah.
That wasn't the exact statement, but he said something along
the lines. Well,
he
said it in Japanese.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I reckon the translators tidied it up a bit. You're the only guy that's got the real scoop.
Yeah.
It isn't a good demonstration of that game, though. Like, it does look like...
Yeah, it's kind of not. You could have even made a better one if you had just had it be half the length. There's a couple of all right moments in there that you could have cut in to make a really, really compact teaser, but then there's all this other stuff that just is... But then, I don't know, none of us have played the original, have we? So maybe it's just going for the thing of, like, if you've played it, you're like, eh?
Yeah.
I played some of it and I'm like, eh.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not too far off.
It was a Kickstarter thing as well, which might be part of the reason for them trying to be communicative.
Yeah, right, yeah, sure.
Than like, it's better than, I don't like the situation where like with that Final Fantasy VII remake, for example, you announce it in like, what, 2014?
Yeah.
And then fuck off for
that
ages?
That game's never coming out.
I really massively doubt that it's ever coming out as well.
Don't say that, guys. Don't.
And if it does come out, I don't think it will be of a particularly high quality.
I do. I think it'll be similar to Final Fantasy XV.
Yeah, but that whole thing of them splitting it into parts.
We've talked about this before. Like, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe. But if one of them is the only one that ever comes out and like...
There's no way that a property that big will stumble and fall at the first hurdle.
Yeah, that's
I am
a
so
huge
excited
game.
To play that back to you in 19 years when that comes out.
Yeah.
I was right. I've had a rough 19 years. I shouldn't sound like that.
I just think that trailer... was bad even if they were just, and they were just cinematics, like they were just bad cinematics.
That's the
thing that Yu Suzuki was saying is like the animations aren't finished yet, the facial animations especially aren't done yet. We just put this out because people are saying, where's Shenmue?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Fair, I guess, if they've been beholden. But the problem with that is you're trying to just appease the Kickstarter people, but not everyone that sees it is going to have the context of knowing, oh, no, ease up. That's just for the, you know, it's unfinished. It's for the Kickstarter people. Especially, everyone is going to see it and not potentially know that.
Yeah, and when it's a series that hasn't been around for like 15 plus years, it's very difficult to make a case for this third one that is a direct continuation and doesn't seem to have learned anything
or progressed.
But so. I don't really have a problem going back to old stuff. So the idea of it just seeming like it was a sequel that came out 2 years after two, it seems kind of cool to me, even if it is
a
bit broken.
I kind of always like that sort of stuff where it's like I don't mind that too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
Speaking of Final Fantasy XV, they announced all like what the PC version, and there's this mobile version they're doing that no one had any idea about that looks fucking bizarre.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at it yet.
Cartoony.
Yeah,
it's the game, but it's very like scaled down visually, which I think is a cool idea. And you know, I love my cartoony aesthetics, but I do not like the style of how this looks.
Well, no, it's chibi, which is like a Japanese style of thing where it's like big heads and even bigger balls.
And they kind of hinted about it maybe coming to Switch. They sort of said stuff that people very much interpreted to them all but announcing that some version of it will be coming to Switch, which people have said would have to be that scaled down
it will be.
Big head one.
Yeah. Which, like, it's the full game, but then it's, like, top down sort
isometric,
of,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think turn-based, they've said, combat possibly.
Yeah, and there's already a Final Fantasy game on mobile called, I think, Mobius Final Fantasy.
There's like 50 fucking weird Final Fantasy games on mobile.
Yeah, and I think they all are, it's kind of similar to that fucking Fire Emblems game that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is, it's a grid turn-based isometric RPG, which I don't know.
But then this is the full like story from 15. And then they're saying all this stuff of like, we're not done with it yet. We're gonna do all these other expansions and weird stuff with the PC version where like the director or someone asked him specifically about like nude mods for it.
Right.
He said, does not sound PC.
He said that will be down to the morality of the people making the mods.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, something like that, which, I don't know, good on him.
That is a strange...
Show them dicks, baby.
A strange call to arms for the modding community.
Yeah. Have at it, you weird fuckboys.
Wasn't there some weird like piece of information where like the PC version, the download was going to be like 600 gigabytes or something? Jesus.
I think it was like 170, but that'd be with like all the full like 4K bullshit. And
That turned out to not be the case, but that sort of leaked and people were like, what the fuck?
It's kind of cool though, because I like that game and it did run like a little badly on Xbox, which is what I played it on. Having like a really good version of that.
Sure.
And ideally, one in the future that they just fix... and finish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's the idea, is that they're going to add more story to do with Arden, the villain guy.
Yeah, right.
And open up that second continent that you go to and, like...
Yep.
The idea of being able to go back and play that game again in a couple years and it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I kind of would be into... Yeah, if that little cartoony one comes to Switch, I'd be into...
Yeah.
I mean, I still have to finish the the original version, but like I'd be into that. I kind of like the idea if you're going to play through something again, it's got like a totally different skin and feel to it.
It's like, almost like a novelization of a movie.
Totally,
yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Always better than the movie.
I was going to say like Jurassic Park, but that is the wrong way around.
I talked about this before. I had a novelization of Ace Ventura when I was a kid that was geared towards children. And so they just have to completely change the ending because you can't get into like someone having a sex change and stuff in like a children's young adult
book. How was that book written? And then Ace wiggled his arms around real crazy.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much.
And then there was a shark in the tank. Fuck.
There was a novelization of the movie of Jurassic Park, though.
Yeah, right.
Specifically a book of the film of the book.
That's
which
great.
I am going to announce here that I am producing a filmed adaptation of the novel of the film of the novel.
Great. Fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. It's going to be terrible. speaking of very disappointing continuations.
I love that there's been a segue into every one of the, is this intentional?
No, I'm just throwing random words out. I don't know English.
Cool.
This has all been a coincidence so far.
Okay.
Oh, no. I don't know why I said oh no, because I wouldn't be able to notice when I wasn't saying English if I didn't know English.
This is still part of it as well.
Yeah, this is extreme.
There's a theory that the universe, right, is...
Is this the next news item?
Yeah. Scientists have discovered... There's this theory that all of the universe is a coincidence so far.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's no actual laws of gravity or anything. But if there's infinite universes or whatever, or infinite space...
Or infinite possibilities,
then surely at one point of it, everything would have to happen...
Accidentally.
Coincidentally in such a way that this happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, in one universe, it doesn't matter if you how much you give us on Patreon. So just do all of it. It's not this universe. Be careful.
That's a good plug. No, you fucked it at the end. But that was a really good plug.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you guys care about Half-Life...
Oh, a bit, like a bit.
Not at all.
Like not a full care, but kind of like 50%.
Right.
Couldn't
so how
care
you
less.
Feel about any other human being on the planet.
Yes.
Your maximum capacity for caring.
Yeah. Half.
Mark Laidlaw, who was like the lead writer, the head writer behind all of the Half-Life stuff from the get-go.
Yeah, certainly number two.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And I thought you meant that he was the number two writer. I don't know if he was the lead, but he
Yeah.
Look, at the very least, he was the two IC.
He was the SME, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
if he was involved at all, but I am sure he was the second in charge.
It was for one as well. Right. So he posted on his, he has a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopty fucking do.
He posted about
Thank
a nice.
Thank you for donating.
What do you use, bro? WordPress or Blogspot or
TypePad?
TypePad.
Live Journal.
You're looking up as if you're going to be able to find it out.
No, there was one Friendster.
Nice.
You fucked it.
He posted a summary, basically. Like it was formatted as a letter. From like
a fictional character.
Yeah. Well, he just gender swapped all the characters and changed their names up a bit.
Yeah.
So I can't remember.
Now, why he do this?
I guess because for legal reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's left Valve, and I think that happened a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he just posted this up there as though it was a letter from Gordon Freeman, but he was called like, you know, Gongan Freedunk or something.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out. That's what my Jurassic Park film is going to have as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like, but it's going to be the actor's name. So it's Dref Goldoom and Sam.
You could just, it could be Malcolm Ian and Grant Allen.
Oh, shit. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
As long as you don't put a comma in there, then you're fucked.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, just accidentally. When I don't know English. I put commas everywhere. I don't know what I'm doing. But so.
Do you mean I don't know what I'm doing?
It sounds like you're doing a clapback. I don't know what I'm doing.
So he posted a summary of what would have been the plot of
Half-Life 3.
No, of Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
Oh yeah, right.
When they were doing the episodic stuff.
Right.
Because it was never, at some point for some reason, the conversation about it changed from it being Episode 3 to just a flat out Half-Life 3.
Yeah, right.
Like around 2010-ish or something when it became obvious that like Half-Life 2 is too old to keep making an expansion for that.
Yep.
So, it was this pretty short summary of everything that would have happened, all the beats, they all made sense. It was pretty much what everyone kind of thought would happen with it. And it sounded fucking cool and like exactly what I would have wanted to see.
Because you're a big Half-Life.
I loved these games. They were a big fucking deal
for me. So did you enjoy getting the closure of it, or did it just kind of bum you out that you weren't living in the world where you'll get to play that?
A little of both. Like it... The first and the last paragraph of what he wrote were kind of more directly addressing him leaving the company and the feeling he had about Half-Life in general having been abandoned.
Right.
That was kind of bitter.
Yeah.
Seeing the rest of it was sweet. If only there was a word that combined the two of them. Switter. But it was cool to have some form of closure. I saw an image that was like, someone had put the desktop icons for like Half-Life, Half-Life 2 episode, and then Half-Life 3, Half-Life 2 episode 3 .docx, which was a funny little meme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to describe three more memes to me to you now.
Go on.
Woman looking angry at her boyfriend, and on the woman it says, good content.
Yes.
And then there's a man looking away from his girlfriend and looking at the butt of another girl, and on that man it says, Adam. And then on the woman who's walking away, whose buddy's looking at, it says...
Filthy casuals.
Describing a meme.
Okay. Okay. Great. Two more to go. So this challenge that you set for yourself.
Yeah, it was cool. And like, I think most people who gave a shit about Half-Life... It's been 10 years since episode 2.
Yeah.
And I think that was maybe part of why he posted it, just being like, hey, everyone. Yeah. Everyone who was involved pretty
cool
much...
Cool thing to do. There's no reason for him to do that. It's cool. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. And just like, that happened out of nowhere.
Yeah. But I guess like the reason is millions of people... I guess, millions of people really wanting this closure. Like,
Yeah,
definitely. And I think he said, or like someone from Valve said, or something like, this was one of the ideas of Half-Life of where it could have gone.
Right.
So it doesn't preclude any others coming out. It doesn't mean that
it's dead
necessarily. But it, you know, it's worth treating. If your dad went for a pack of cigarettes 20 years ago, you know, he's coming back.
Oh, okay. What a fucking brutal way for any listeners to find out for whom that was the case.
Yeah, it's
he will send you a letter in 10 years and it will kind of make up for
things. He's changed your name, he's changed your mum's name, he's changed his name.
He's still on the run for the law, for legal reasons he can't actually name
you. Someone will make a shit meme about your dad's letter.
Yeah. And crazily this would have existed since like before episode 2 came out, because apparently he wrote the story first and then they sort of built the game off of that.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's super old, but it's nice to have a little bit of some sense that people still gave a shit about it too.
Yeah.
Because Valve drifted away from them just because Steam started making them so much fucking money.
Totally,
That there was no reason for them to keep doing it. They're swimming around Scrooge McDuck style.
Yeah, which I guess, you could perhaps assume that they were only making the games to make money. And so when you stack that up against the money that Steam's making, they're like, it's not worth it.
Or at least there was some element of them where there were enough people there doing that. Because everyone who was involved, or a lot of the people involved creatively in Half-Life, have all left that company now.
Right.
So people planning for it, if it did get made, it wouldn't be...
It's by a different group of people.
Yeah, exactly. And
then it'd be like a situation with like Halo 4 or something where they kind of continue it, but it feels weird and different and kind of fucks it a little bit for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not that they're terrible, but you know, it's just not the same thing.
Yep.
So this is better than anything that's happened in Half-Life for the last 10 years.
Right. So it's better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
How's he going to segue this? Speaking of better than nothing.
Speaking of better than nothing, there will now be nothing showing up in Wii U games that use the Miiverse as of the 8th of November.
Yeah, now this, who gives a shit? But like,
there's like six people.
But because they posted a list of now, because you talk about this a lot, this whole thing of all these games having these big online components now, and there will come a time when the Switch gets flicked off. Even though, like, I owned a Wii U, so I remember all this stuff. I don't play it anymore. Like, I haven't booted it up in like a year. But just seeing their list of the breakdown of like, when you turn these games on, these things will no longer be present in it. Yeah. I did still go, even though it doesn't affect me at all, it's just like, just seems really sad. Just the admission that this is the end of the line. And I thought that stuff was, I thought that was kind of cool. That was one thing I really liked about the Wii U, that you could turn on that thing when you would go around the levels in a Mario game. Little posts from other people playing it on the Miiverse would if you died on a level, you'd see all these little things of people going, "Damn you, Bowser!" And it kind
of if you never had a Wii U, the Miiverse, which statistically you did not.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Miiverse was like their kind of social network integration thing.
Kind of, their
own, like, you drew little pictures or wrote little comments. And it was used in fucking most of the games.
Right.
Most of the games, in-game stuff would pop up, but also there would be like a dedicated page on the home screen for each of those games. So like the day that a game came out, it was always really cool to go on there because it was just like this kind of very – it was kind of like a message board but in Twitter form where you'd have people going screenshot that you could like tag it with a spoiler thing of going, oh, I found this bit in the game, or, hey, does anyone want to know how to unlock this? Like here you go. Like I thought that bit of it – that's kind of a cool concept that sort of seemed like, oh, this will be kind of expanded on and, you know, kind of built into more stuff, and then it just kind of never was.
And so it was created for the Wii. Well, not the Miiverse, but the Miis were created for the Wii.
Yeah, this is separate to the Miis. The Miis are still there.
Right.
The Miiverse. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Nintendo have dumb names for
games.
That was more just
the whole thing was just, it's like you're posting on this thing and then it's showing up in the game.
Right.
Which they have Splatoon kind of brought back for Splatoon 2 because Splatoon was one of the things that did it well, where you'd be walking around in the little main overworld thing and all the little kind of characters that are standing around would have things popping up. And
people are drawing memes and shit on them.
Yeah.
For example... a meme could be...
By the way, did you see this on there? I think it was last weekend.
I had a meme ready to go, by the way.
I was also going to say it would be meme spelt M-I-I-M-E.
Nice.
Oh, shit. I better step the fuck off because we're in genius town. I was going to say when you find out Miiverse shutting down and then the white guy blinking. Continue.
Nice. No, it's the... It's the five different brains where they're getting bigger and bigger. So it's
knowing what
the Miiverse is,
yep.
caring that the Miiverse shut down,
mm-hmm.
And then the very bottom one is never owning a Wii U at all.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate intelligence.
Or like... Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I was going to do another one, but let's not make this fucking podcast about describing memes.
Yes, in the plaza of Splatoon 2 a couple of weekends ago, I think it was perhaps in response to Donald Trump doing some zany trans stuff with people in the military.
Yeah,
there was a big, like for 2 days...
Zany is the right word.
Yeah. Fuck.
Remember that zany Hitler guy?
Yeah.
What a madcap adventure he had.
Zany in terms of the amount of sense it makes. Yeah. But anyway... Yeah. You would walk around the plaza and like all the little things that would pop up would all be like players going like in support of like the trans community and stuff, which lasted for about, I think, 48 hours. It was, I guess someone just started this thing of going like, hey, let's do this big push. And it was kind of cool to see, I thought. Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously based on my dumbass comment before, I don't know what the Miiverse is really. Is it something that could just be transferred to another, like could the functionality just be swapped over to like your Nintendo account having an app? Like is it? That kind of thing.
I didn't really know that
it's a server that Nintendo owns that they're switching off.
Basically. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be more like, you know, when you go to like an old website and there's some of the images are just the square with the big red cross in them.
I really do know. Oh yeah.
It's just
big Angel Fire fan over here.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to look something like that, where they'll still pop up because it's programmed into the game, but it'll just be blank.
Well, sure. I think I kind of made it sound like there'd be software updates that just it removes all the stuff.
Oh, really?
You
won't see any of those.
Anymore.
Yeah, huh. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Hey, we've spent way too long talking about something being turned off.
Hey, speaking of being turned off,
here
one last news article. I can't get erections anymore.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
right,
this
Pele.
Was big on Polygon. I saw this really big story, this.
No, there's no more news.
Oh, there's no more news?
No.
Ever?
Nothing else has happened.
No news is good news.
All right, well, let's get into the big releases of the last week since we recorded. We, of course, have to talk about. We have the first one is Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
Which came out about a week ago. Was originally DLC for Uncharted 4.
Yep.
And has then kind of... What was the story there? It just got too big and so they decided it needed to be on its own disc? Or
yeah, so yeah.
They felt like it deserved... its own release, or what was the story?
Yeah. They said the scope of it expanded.
Kind of blew out.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Which makes sense if you're programming and building two new characters and a bunch of environments.
Like apparently, that is, like they wanted to make it smaller, but the programmers started going, and it just sort of like kept building up momentum. They were like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa!" Just got out of hand.
Oh yeah, bubbling along like a snowball.
Yeah,
yeah.
So this focuses on Chloe Fraser, who isn't in. She's not in four.
No, she was in.
She's not in three, right? She's in. Only in two?
She's definitely in two.
Popped up for a second in three.
Right.
I don't really remember. Oh, no, she was in three for a bit, I think.
She has a pretty big role in two from memory. Yeah. And, God, I forget her name, the South African
Nadine.
Woman who's in four.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's a big part
Nadine
of four.
Nadine Ross.
Yep.
Such a Ross.
So you guys have both finished this. I am only up to about, I've only had the time to play about an hour or so of it.
Right.
So my experience is pretty limited.
Sure. And on that basis, no spoilers. Spoilers for this review if you're someone who hasn't played it yet.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Okay, sure. But what do you guys think?
The ending is incredible where I really, really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
This snuck up. I mean, we almost forgot that we had this to talk about in the lead up to it because they make sense. They did this huge push for Uncharted 4 where it was in bus stops and all, you know, huge, huge push.
Yep.
So I definitely think that's helped.
There's nothing more prestigious than a bus stop.
You go, well, you throw your Razor scooter on top and you look at the big billboard.
Yeah, the ultimate honour. Your character next to a couple of teenagers getting fingered. So good.
A pair of them being fingered by a third person.
At once,
yes, yeah.
Dressed
up
as Nathan Drake. The ultimate tribute. But so, yeah, I definitely think that's kind of contributed to how well it's been received.
Sure,
like they weren't trying to sneak this in as Uncharted 5 or anything. It just really did kind of come out.
It is a straight up just Uncharted game.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Through and through, exactly what you, if you've played Uncharted, it is what you think. If you haven't played Uncharted, this isn't the place to jump in.
No, absolutely not. No.
This
no.
like you definitely should have played 4, and if you've played 4 you should have played at least 2 as well.
I almost feel like you could jump in on this just because it is, if you're a bit time poor, it is just it still introduces you, and it is just a kind of a good and again, this is only from having played it for not very long at all, but it just feels like a kind of a condensed, compacted version of...
Having not entered this house yet, I'm going to buy it.
Sure, but that's how I'm feeling about it so far. It's like, I actually feel like you kind of could go into this...
You could, probably.
Why would you, but it's not
very
like...
very referential to the other ones.
Yeah, sure.
I would say, like, qualitatively... Yes, it is on par with all the rest, but you wouldn't pay $55 for this
if
when you could pay
really...
$70 for 4 and have a 70-hour experience. But,
or you could pay what is it, $60 to get that PS4 disc that has the first three in
Uncharted is like $20 in shops now.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
4, I mean.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is weird because they've put all the multiplayer stuff from 4 onto this disc.
Mm.
Either as just a, hey, we have it, why not just use this disc instead? Or as, hey, it's got everything, get this one.
Yeah.
You could, like...
For whatever reason, you've got to assume that this might be someone's... It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Have existed or know each other or whatever, you can figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I kind of think this is the wrong angle to take starting this review. Let's go, let's go back to the start.
Yeah, and so it's... like first of all, same as 4, it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I talked to you guys about this in the chat. The jungle scenes they looked very flat to me. The lighting looked really flat.
We were frothing on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were passing this off as a complaint that somehow the fault of the game that we've decided is you being a fuckhead and not having your TV programmed properly.
Yeah, which I don't know. Like I had it on game mode. It should, but I don't know. Most of it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like I really do think it looked amazing. Yeah. The detail in the
that's the thing that fucks with me is in a good way is that the thing that fingers me at a bus stop is the amount of fucking intricate, ridiculously well designed and seemingly centimeter by centimeter design.
Yeah. Yeah.
Detail in all of the environments is so impressive.
Yeah. I almost feel like it's crazy to think that this was at one point a I don't want to say throwaway, but you know, DLC is kind of optional, and it is sort
it's
of
an add-on. Because,
I mean, so far to me, and maybe this is just having you know, it's been a year since playing Uncharted 4. This almost feels like there's this almost feels like there's more interesting stuff going on visually in this than there was in 4. Just so far, I'm finding the way that the areas are laid out and the Jeep kind of segments I've been in, I'm kind of finding them a bit more satisfying than I did in 4, I think.
It expands on all those ideas that 4 had in a really cool way.
I think it learned a lot from it and it cut out the boring stuff.
Yes.
Or just the, you know, the frustrating stuff.
And I think
added
it's
more cool
been
stuff.
Good. Again, in my early playthrough of it, I think the condensed playtime has kind of been good for them to not be able to stretch out and not feel like they have to make it this 12-hour odyssey and pack all this stuff in, like just kind of getting to the nitty-gritty of it, I think is probably a good thing for it.
Well, my experience was that I fucking loved the start, really, really liked the first couple of hours. Then feel like it really got a bit bogged down for a bit.
Right.
And during that period, my thought was like, well, it's going to end soon and they're not going to switch up the pace. They're not going to change the location. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just going to play this for another couple of hours and it'll be done. But then it picks up again at the end in a major way.
Right.
And it becomes an incredibly fun and incredibly satisfying ending.
Right.
Yeah.
And kind of what happens with the other Uncharted games is, you play this amount of time and then you finish the act or the chapter or whatever and then it changes to a new location and it kind of starts again. And
it's very globe-hopping.
Totally. And so this, it doesn't have the globe-hopping. It just really nails a big segment of an Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes, exactly. It feels like the middle third or something of an Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way it opens up, like the middle of it is kind of an open world area.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a small scale.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
It really works and it's made me excited for what they might be doing with The Last of Us and stuff.
Yeah. Because I remember playing through Uncharted 4 for the second time, getting to the Jeep bit in that and going, oh, that's right. There's all this frustrating driving up muddy hills and then you get to one place and you climb on top and you go, oh, okay, I've done this. And then you do more frustrating driving. And that got a bit tedious despite it looking incredible.
Yeah.
And this just like ironed out all the kinks and made it all really fun.
Yeah.
It's not as narrow. Like the driving bit they realize, because you're driving forwards basically in that bit.
But and it feels, it just feels good. And when everything around you looks really good and it handles well. I mean, they don't care that it handles like a five-year-old moving a Tonka truck around in his playset. Yeah. Like
the
physics and the mechanics are so stupid, but it just, it works. It's fine.
A bunch of fucking superhero serial killers, like that's what they're meant to be. Dumb, flying all over the place people.
I think the intro segment of this is maybe my favorite intro in an Uncharted game. I know people froth on the train at the start of 2, but I love any aesthetic that is like nighttime and the rain and neon signs. Like that just is, that's why it's such a bummer that what was it called? The thing that was announced at E3, the
Blade
Microsoft
Runner.
The Last Night. That turning out to be a big old misogyo fest was such a bummer because that sort of look and tone is the sort of stuff that I love. And so this for a segment where they're just, they're quickly kind of teaching you like this button's jump and this is kind of the pace and this is how it's going to go when you're running and you're under attack and all this stuff. Yeah. I just loved that. I just thought that was paced so well and once you got into it, it was so satisfying.
Yeah, for context for people who haven't played this yet, it's basically a war-torn, crumbling Indian city at night with a bunch of neon signs and a bunch of soldiers doing weird shit and people running around for cover and
they're not doing weird shit, they're doing soldier shit.
No, they're doing weird shit.
It's not a bunch of soldiers like doing origami.
You mustn't have turned left down that alley that I did. Oh wait, that was not in the game. But yeah, I really loved that opening. It's fantastic. The design, the way that it introduces you to the mechanics again, the characters. It's perfect. I love it.
The way that the Uncharted games as well have so much detail and such a believable world and throw it away. They let you move past it.
They
don't make you focus on, you know, there's these, like a pair of women running through the street to get to their house and they slam the door and all the lighting's perfect and they're wearing incredible looking clothing and, you know, it's all really well done. And it's kind of weirdly like Sonic in that way, actually, having played
you're
a bit
right.
more Sonic.
Right.
You're right.
It's
you
this
are,
really
yeah.
intricate shit that you're zipping past.
You can stop and activate photo mode and stuff, but you never spend you just are moving forward the whole time.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not open world, I mean, GTA or what, or any open world thing, you're meant to spend a lot of time, you know, discovering every nook and cranny of it, and really you get that time to really bask in every bit of it. Like, you know, Breath of the Wild, you have to really go all these areas to find all these shrines and to find all this stuff. But this is just like, you can loiter if you want and just look, but time to fuck get moving. And then so, you're on to, and then it's gone. You don't get time to double back. You go through so many areas where something crumbles behind you, or you can't get back up a cliff that you've fallen down. It's like, that's that's gone now. You're on to the next thing.
And knowing that, I did loiter. Like, I went really quite slowly through that opening because it just looked incredible.
I'd be interested to go back to Ford now after this, because I feel like just even just in this early segment, the there's so many bits where you come around the corner and these vistas just, to me, look more incredible and more detailed and more kind of panoramic than anything they did in 4. Maybe I'm misremembering it. But
no, I think because the nature of that opening is you're walking around alleyways. And so when you climb up to a building and get exposed to this great like vista, like you said, it is way more effective, I think.
Yeah.
But that kind of stops happening for most of the game.
Right.
Because, and maybe it's
had it for all the jungle stuff.
Yeah, right.
Every part of that game, there was something where I went, fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah.
From a visual point of view and like a design point of view.
Just little things, and the fact that there's most of it, the bits so far that I've been in the Jeep where you're driving through these kind of bits of, you know, these little puddles and water. Like, most of it is water where it's just, it's just cool. Like, it's just, there's water flying up alongside you and you're, you know, and the dumb bits where it's like you need to drive from A to B. So they, you know, beyond it looking amazing, the way they make that feel good is they have these big chunks of exposition that happen as you're driving.
Yep.
You know, the big bits of dialogue where the story kind of gets told to you through that.
Yeah, so that's where I'll chuck a criticism its way. Is I think the writing is worse.
Yes. So this made me realize this is something I've kind of always subconsciously hated about Uncharted, but I don't know that it's ever really been as in focus as it is with this. And I said this to Ben last night, that I'm so sick of the way that they write kind of like, what would you call it? Kind of snarky, snippy, sarcastic dialogue. Yep. Because Naughty Dog in the Uncharted games, all of the characters do it and they all do it very badly. And it just makes every character kind of seem a bit the same when they all have their little, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't go that far. You know, they all say stuff like that to each other.
Yeah.
Everyone says has a little quip. There's no one that's, you know, it would be so much stronger to just have someone where.
The villain. I like the villain in this.
Yeah.
He kind of avoids it.
Yeah. This is a criticism that's also been leveled at Joss Whedon.
I was thinking about it.
It's totally the same criticism of the Avengers. They all sound like Joss Whedon / Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Completely. And it's sitcom shit where, like, a lot of the like people will say things like, what just happened here?
Yeah.
And, you know, like little things that could be from some fucking, you know, NBC sitcom.
Yeah.
Which is and like the places where it's not so much the sarcasm thing, because that's the same as the other ones in
That's what I'm saying. It's made me realize this is kind of what's sort of galvanized it for me, is that they do this too often.
And I think at least
when you've got Sully and Drake, you've got the sort of the difference there is that, sure, they're both doing it, and so it does make them sound kind of similar, but one of them is, you know, that one of them is kind of the older guy who was like his mentor, whereas this is, you know, two women who've met who, you know what I mean? When they're both kind of
sounding the
same.
And they don't know each other.
Yeah,
and then they're not the same character at all. One's like a hardened mercenary. The other one's like a kind of cheeky treasure hunter.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the same
at
all.
But to me, with them driving around, they just seem like the same character.
They sound like Nathan Drake.
If one of them didn't have a South African accent, I don't know that I'd be able to tell them apart. Because especially when you fight, you know, when you're coming into a gunfighting section, or you're just leaving one, there's always a bit of dialogue that leads in and out of those sections.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of sarcastic.
Yeah, well, that just happened. Yeah,
we got company here.
Yeah,
hey, get out the dinner plates.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of goddamn meat bags up here.
Yeah, they interchange that, which one of them says it. Like, it's never just the one person's like, well, that's her thing. Like, they kind of go back and forth, and that's the only way they know how to do light and shade is to just have every character every now and then be a smart-ass dickhead.
Yeah. Also, and that's the thing that I have more of a problem with this than the other games, was the shade part.
Yeah.
Where they have these sort of emotional conversations about their pasts that are so shoehorned in.
Yeah.
Like, and like literal and on the nose of just like, this happened to me when I was a kid. It affects me now. It really is totally that. Yeah.
And there's one bit in particular where I want, like, this isn't a spoiler, I don't believe. They like, one of them says a story about her dad.
Yep.
Chloe, her dad, she's Lara Croft, basically. Her dad was a treasure hunter, and now she is. And she says, like, yeah, well, dad was really into this, so I guess that's why I do it. And then Nadine says, yeah, well, my dad used to own this mercenary company, so that's why I did it.
Yeah.
And they both have the exact same emotion about that, but it isn't done in like a, oh, wow, these guys are starting to find out more about each other. It's like, just this really, as though they had all the action and then sat someone down and said, you've got 2 hours to come up with reasons for all this.
Totally. There's no subtext. It's all text. It's all like, this, I am telling you straightforwardly what is my motivation.
And I think the like, back third of it is a little better.
So my thought on it is that...
But the thing is, does this really matter? I know we're just bringing it up for the sake of, you know, we're addressing every angle of it, but does it matter? I mean, it's a game. It's like, does it matter to the experience of playing the game?
It's noticeably less engaging than the other ones were.
My thought on it is that, like, if you step back and you plot out their emotional arcs, you know, on the whiteboard, I like that. I like how they figured it out. I like all
the beats.
I like
having it all in front of me clear on a whiteboard.
No, but I like it in terms of, like, it all makes sense. Yeah. All the progression makes sense. The start to the end, you see how they intertwine. They learn to get to know each other. Their actions impact their future. You know, it all makes sense. It makes sense emotionally. It's just the delivery that's fucked.
Yeah,
like they just haven't written the sentences in a way that is effective. They've written them in a way that is shit.
And the reasons that they have for exposing these things about their past aren't there.
They're inelegant.
They just come out and do it.
Yeah.
And it just, it feels a little off. But yeah, I do think the back half to a third of the game gets better with all that stuff.
Yeah, totally.
All that picks up, and I think it has a really satisfying conclusion. And,
yes.
I will say, in spite of my problems with everything I was just saying, it is fun being in this world and having this play style that you do recognize. And, you know, as soon as you pick up that controller, it was immediately familiar. But it being a different person who's not Nathan Drake, I thought that was really exciting.
Yeah. I could see really enjoying every couple of years getting the continuing adventures of the Uncharted world.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, it is this, it's all the same stuff. It's you got to climb up over here to find a switch to open that gate to then go through.
Yeah.
You were crossing that bridge with her and that's fallen down, so you've got to find your own way.
Yeah.
It's hopping around, and it is, but that's true of every big franchise where it's ultimately it's more of the same, and it's, do you dig it or do you not? And it is. I don't need them to bring out another big 15-hour Uncharted game every 4 years if they just kind of... I said it recently, but I'd still love to see one that's Sully and Sam off on their adventures together. Yep. I really hope that's the next thing they do, just a little 5-hour little slice of where they are in the world.
Totally.
I think it'd be really fun.
And so people have asked us kind of like, is it worth the money? Like the value proposition, does it make sense?
And specifically someone asked, this came from, I think, Elliot. He said, is it worth it? Let me work it. Put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. And then I couldn't understand the bit after that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to say, if that's a question, then yes.
Yeah.
If that's what he's asking, then I'm into it. Yeah. Go for it, Elliot.
Sorry, it was Missy Elliott. Sorry, I've gotten that wrong. I've bloody done it. Oh, that's going to the well or whatever that we were saying before.
Well received. So personally,
so what is the recommended retail price?
$55, I believe, Australian,
and you can get it for like $42 or something at your Target somewhere.
Right.
So you're still around 50, let's say.
Yeah, yeah. And so Nox, do you know off the top of your head how long Uncharted 4 was?
I believe for me it was somewhere around 12 to 14 hours.
Okay, that is less than I thought.
I finished this one. It's not a spoiler to say how long it took me something to finish. 6 hours.
It took you six. It took me about nine, I think.
I think the average is like 6-7 is what I've read in reviews.
Yeah.
And it's a very good that amount of time. It basically, and the multiplayer stuff is all in there.
If you
sold four or didn't have four. Or
yeah.
But this is the thing. I mean, when you make the jump from something being DLC to being in, you know, a release and in stores and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you do incur a cost where you do have to charge a bit more than perhaps you would if it was just a downloadable thing. And I guess even with a reduced price point of like what a bigger game is, that still is going to carry with it a weight of some expectation.
Yeah.
And yeah, is that a fair time? Like, I guess if it's good, it doesn't really matter, but I can definitely see, you know, someone, I can definitely see a certain sort of person being disappointed by that.
Yeah.
It is just such a weird, because it's such a weird fluctuating economy, because there's not really too many other things like it where, you know, the movies just cost what the movies cost. You don't pay based on what genre it is or how long it is. I mean, you know, Sonic Mania takes you a good few hours to get through, and that was, you know, $25.
Yeah, like, way more likely to go through and play Sonic Mania again, though, than, like, this is pretty much a one and done sort of thing.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, so then, like, Tacoma, how do you stack up the value or whatever? You know,
yeah, like, it's Tacoma, like three hours or so. Yeah. And this is about twice the price and about twice as long.
And I will say,
and you just can't do that. You can't go
totally
the amount of money that versus hours, which is a habit that video game people have.
Yeah, know, yeah, which I personally don't understand.
It is, but it is just a weird thing where it's like that. Like I said, the economy of games just fluctuates so wildly based on the studio and based on the genre. I mean, even just a bunch of indies that are all kind of doing the similar thing or similar length. Some of them are $8, some of them are 30. Like, it's kind of, it's sort of is all over the place. So
yeah, and the good thing about this game is, like, forget what it costs. It's very easy to say whether or not you will like it.
Yeah,
how much you will. If you played any of the others and you didn't like them, you won't like this one.
Yeah.
If you played any of the others and you did, you will.
If you want to play another Uncharted, then yeah, it's worth it.
Exactly.
If you don't, it's not.
Yeah, I know from my perspective, which I think is relatable. Like, I think a lot of people today on our new Facebook group have been saying, like, I have kids. I don't have a lot of time to play games anymore, but this is what I like. So for me, as someone who has way less free time than I did a few months ago, someone who has maybe...
Those kids came quick.
I bought them and they were worth the value. No, but for someone, I have like 3-4 hours a week maybe to play games if I really like make time for it.
Yep.
And I felt like this was the perfect length of time.
Yeah.
And the quality was perfect.
Yeah.
Like I loved it and I got to finish it and I got to move on to a new game, and for $55, that's perfect.
I mean, Cave Story is $40.
Yeah.
And it's not a particularly long game, and it was free, and it's like a 2D side scroller.
Yeah, exactly. I would
still recommend it to anyone because I think it's a fantastic experience and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So likewise, things I've played, you know, $15 for that have a lot more going on visually that are just not fun. You know?
Sure.
So it all,
sure.
Yeah. So yeah, good game. Check it out if you're a fan of the previous ones. If you've never gone in, then I mean, yeah, we were debating it before. I still think you could, but why would you when you can get the disc that's got the three on them for probably about $30?
If you haven't played four, play four.
Yeah. So another big release of this week, which it feels like we've been talking on the show for about 6 years about, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
A game you were famously skeptical about.
Yes, and a title which somehow, having played it, it's now even worse. It's such a bad name for a game.
Yeah.
It's so bad of a title.
Yeah.
If they'd have tilted that plus a little bit and made it Mario times Rabbids, like DJ promotions do.
Mario times Rabbids equals Kingdom Battle?
Get rid of Kingdom Battle.
Okay.
That sounds like a mobile fucking cash cow.
Kingdom Battle is so bad. Yeah. You know what? I would prefer it, as shitty as this would be, if it was literally just called Mario meets the Rabbids.
Yeah.
That would be better.
What about Mushroom Kingdom Battle?
No. I mean, that would still be better than this.
Yeah,
Freddy versus Jason 2, but Freddy is Mario and Jason is the Rabbids.
See, that's great.
Colon, Kingdom Battle.
That's great because that takes up the whole cover, so you don't need to worry about box art. So you're saving money there.
What about Run DMC featuring Jason Nevins?
Oh, yeah, Mario Foot Rabbids.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Can I give a quick plug to a Twitter account that I found called @SegaCDGames?
Absolutely not.
Which is a guy making a fake... game covers for the and he's for some reason the console that he's chosen is the Sega CD, which there's some great ones on there.
Oh yeah,
including Dunstan Fucks Good, which is great. Yep. But yeah, so I have played this for a few days. I think I'm nearly halfway through it. Nox, you got it yesterday?
Yeah, I just finished the first world.
Okay, cool. So yeah. I'm like a little bit beyond that. Okay. What do you think?
I think it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. Like,
this is the surprise of the year.
Weirdly, like after seeing it, if you'd asked me in March, I would have told you to get fucked.
Mm-hmm. You just say like talking
Dunstan.
To people.
Get fucked by Dunstan.
Get fucked good.
He fucks good. But after seeing the footage of it, I guess it was E3.
Yep.
It is what that made it look like.
Yes. Right. I mean, but that's the thing that I was a lot more on board after that footage, but I thought it could still, you know, as is always the case, stuff can look good and just play properly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was lucky enough to get an early copy of it and to sort of have that that nice experience of kind of playing it in a vacuum where before reviews have come out where you're going in completely clean and you're starting to play it and you're like, I think this is really good, but I wonder if it's just it's nice to do that and then see the reviews come out and go, oh okay, it is, yeah, it kind of across the board it's gotten, you know, pretty a lot of pretty nice reviews.
Yeah,
it's like 85 or something on Metacritic, like I've only really seen mid eights to don't think I've seen any that really getting towards the nines, but it's still
that sounded like you were judging women who walk down the street. Mostly a bunch of mid-aids. Not really any nice.
Or a diving competition.
I was judging the attractiveness of all the people who've reviewed the game.
Oh, okay.
Men and women.
Peach rabid.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't played it yet.
Okay.
All I know is that it's a turn-based strategy game with Mario and rabbits.
Turn-based strategy.
Walk me through it.
I've been very skeptical of the whole thing of I don't like the rabbits as characters at all.
Yeah, I do.
I will say I like them. The way that this whole world is set up and the way that they're implemented is done well. It is a ridiculously stupid, very video gamey story, but it does a good job of kind of bringing the worlds together in a way that is like, okay, cool.
It's
I
very like
the stakes here.
Early 90s arcade game pre-roll story.
Yeah.
Where it's very fucking stupid.
I think it's also being deliberately stupid in that way of like 90s crossovers of TV shows where it's like the Flintstones meet the Jetsons and all that kind of stuff. 100%. Where it's like you've got to work out it. There's never going to be a clean, organic way of bringing these two worlds together.
From what I've read, it's someone accidentally opens a portal.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it really doesn't matter is the cool thing about it.
Right.
There's a helmet thing that like can morph things together, so the rabbits get morphed into these Mario posters and all this sort of stuff.
Do you know what's crazy though? Like Mario and the Mario universe people are the perfect straight man to the rabbits.
Yeah,
because Mario is so personalityless.
Yeah.
He is a really good like foil for him or whatever, and I've actually found it kind of funny.
Yeah,
so far.
Him like, just sort of standing there being like, well, this is the other thing is like, so the opening cinematic is like rendered and directed really well. You basically just get this mini Pixar film that sets up. In terms of the quality of the animation.
It's an animated film.
Well, yeah, but in
mini
terms of
DreamWorks at best.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
10 minutes, it's like the opening will make you cry like up.
It is. Yeah, Mario has cancer. And but my point is that I'm getting to where you get this little setup of the rabbits and they get sucked into the portal, and then we cut
to Malignant. Sorry.
Then we cut to the Mushroom Kingdom, and I thought this was really cool because we don't ever really see in Nintendo games these kind of rendered Mario cutscenes that set stuff up. And it's like Mario. He's like getting a medal. He's being honored for something that he's done,
Unveiling a Peach statue.
They're unveiling a Peach statue, and like all these toads are gathered around.
There's a huge fucking rally against them.
Just this kind of setup and seeing that animated, and that's kind of the first kind of glimpse that you get where you remember, oh yeah, this is being made by another studio that are so stoked that they get the chance to work with Mario.
Yep.
So the fact that they're you know, they're telling this little mini story and giving you a bit of context of like, hey, here's what goes on in the Mushroom Kingdom when you're not around, you know, in it as a player. Yeah. Like, I thought that was kind of just a really nice little thing.
It has a feeling like this might be a bit much, but like almost like Rogue One did or something where you could tell the director of that was super excited to be fucking working with Darth Vader.
Because I think sometimes Nintendo are a bit guilty of they've made these games forever, so they don't know what it feels like, like how people outside of them think of this property that they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was I just loved that little setup. I was like, this is what I want to see. Like, these guys kind of really get what's great and charming about this world. And so then, so basically the pattern is you kind of walk around these worlds and you have
the weird thing is you're this little robot guy, this like little Roomba, and so you're controlling that. It's like your cursor
In the matches,
and so I found that whenever you're walking around the world, I'm looking at Mario automatically.
Yeah,
I'm moving based on where I think he should move, which isn't correct because it's the
he's always
guy
like one
him.
Second off. I mean,
it's
I've
a small thing.
It I've seen a few things come in on that. I haven't found it to be that difficult. What I do think it gets let down is every now and then there's these little bonus sections that you warp off to where they're very much based on
warp
like
off.
They're very much based on like the Mario 3D World games where you'd go into those little bonus levels and you've just got to get all of the coins in a set time limit. But you guiding this thing around and sometimes you have to push blocks out of the way. And the way that you move around is very slippery and you know, very quick.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't lend itself to that kind of precision of moving a block around quickly at the right time to go and get these coins.
And it isn't a big deal. It's very small stuff.
You can do it again as many times as you want, but it's just like they've tried to wedge this kind of gameplay thing in that doesn't quite work for that controller setup that they've got. But whatever. So for the you spend the bulk of your time doing these kind of turn-based strategy combats where you'll be in this kind of battlefield and you most of them are you just have to defeat all of the enemies.
Yep.
Some of them are you have to just one of you has to reach an area that's kind of at the end, a safe zone at the end.
Yep.
Some of them you have another character with you who's unarmed and can only have limited movement. So you've just got to make sure he gets to the end without dying. So you're kind of defending him and clearing a path for him. And so each round you have three people in your party at any time, and as you unlock new characters, you can add them to your party.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have different classes of weapons, different special abilities, including things like healing everyone else in your team if they're nearby. You can increase your field of movement by performing a jump off your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the main thing is this is very focused on movement and really needing to flank out and surround your enemies, but also having to keep an eye on, you know, your teammates being close enough if you want to perform a team jump to get that extra bit of distance, or if you want to be able to get up on a higher vantage point.
Oh, yeah. Planning ahead a bit so that you're aware of, like, subverting that instinct you have to hide from the enemy you're about to attack and hiding yourself from the one who will still be alive after you've killed that one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you got to plan ahead a little bit. It's XCOM.
This was a big thing for me as I started playing it and was like, okay, I'm okay, the first couple of battles are really easy and it's like, okay, well this is okay, like let's see. And then it does start to ramp up the difficulty pretty quickly and I just rounded a corner where I went, okay, I'm so into this.
Right.
So a big part of it for me was me discovering that I just like turn-based strategy. So then I was kind of trying to extrapolate, well, how much of this is me, and this is also before the reviews came out where I was like, how much of this is me just liking this style of game versus this game doing it particularly well?
I
well thought, hey, maybe I just like strategy games and the reviews are going to come out and go, yeah, this is a 5 out of 10.
Yeah,
This is not particularly good example of the genre. But the thing that I've seen being praised, and you'll be able to tell me if this is true or not, is that it's more kind of movement focused than XCOM.
Totally. It's got a different take on it in the same way that something like Mario Kart or Mario Tennis or whatever have a different take on racing or tennis.
Right,
you know,
it's
that sort of, you can make that same sort of equivalent thing in your head.
Right.
Paper Mario is a take on an RPG.
Yep.
And it's the exact same thing, but for that particular genre, which it works really well and it's really well thought out.
The animations and the style, I think that's the main thing for me is like, I've since gone back and kind of looked at XCOM because I never really quite knew what it was. and thought, oh, maybe I'd get into this. And then just the aesthetic of it and the presentation and what it is, I kind of, I mean, I'm still keen to give it a go at some point, but just looking at it from the outside, I go, eh, not for me.
It's very like movie sci-fi kind of.
Yeah, yeah. This just has a, I just love all this kind of stuff. So
it looks great.
It looks great. The it's something so satisfying about Luigi with a, you know, with a vacuum cleaner gun taking out a rabbit. And when you do your, sometimes it'll kind of, for certain bits every now and then, it'll kind of zoom right in on the action and do these kind of dynamic viewpoints, like,
right,
which is especially cool when you do a jump off your teammate and it kind of zooms in and you watch your person fly through the air, yeah, and yeah, all right, that kind
will
of stuff.
Weirdly, like, slow down the frame rate sometimes or, like, clip through the world a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But not, it's not a big deal.
No, I'm not going to buy it now.
Maybe, I think they've patched it maybe today where they've fixed up a bunch of
right,
that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, yeah, I did see a thing where they, I think it was this morning, they put a thing up.
Yeah, the presentation of it across the board is really, really good. Like, the music is fucking great.
Yeah.
It's Grant Kirkhope, which I didn't realize until just earlier.
So old Rare composer from back in the day. Yeah. And yeah, very cartoony, goofy. Like, it is interesting. It's weird seeing these Mario characters in this presentation that is, I think, quite European in the way that it's done.
Yeah,
like,
sure,
the music is all very bom 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 bom, like, the just this kind of,
yeah, right,
tone of music that you'd never normally hear in a Mario game, but sure, it still works.
But it does, it feels like Mario on holiday or whatever.
Totally, yeah.
Mario goes backpacking.
Yeah. Even though, so I...
Then his backpack can spray bloody water, can't it?
Yeah, well. I like this so much that I'm, the rabbits aren't really bothering me, even though every now and then I go, fuck, imagine if it was anything else in place of them.
If it was like Goombas or Koopas
just
or
anything else, I go,
yeah, I kind of like them. I don't know if yeah, I'm fucking stupid.
They
but
do
like,
work in the, they do work in the context of, like, for the most, you have three of them that are kind of in your party that are the good guys.
Right.
And then the rest of them are these kind of various mutations of them that you're trying to take out.
Yeah.
So they do kind of work as bad guys of, like, fuck, and these things are annoying.
That's right.
Just liquefy them.
Just these bullshit knockoff Looney Tunes characters, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes there'll be something that they do. Like, you're walking around the world and there's two, like, hanging out on a bridge just slapping each other and laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, but so that's funny. The environments, yeah, that you walk around in between all of the combat bits look fantastic.
The whole game looks great.
Yeah, right. And it kind of, it almost feels a little bit like those theme park rides where, you know, you're on like a log going down the river and there's like the little diorama ones.
Oh,
where
there's
a little story as you go kind of along, because you every now and then you walk across a bridge and there's a Goomba on a splashing up in the water.
Yeah.
So you have the option of kind of clicking and looking at the, and your little Roomba thing kind of speaks to you and does a bit of dialogue about him. So the fact that there's all these little things kind of dotted around for you to look at and focus on as you're kind of jumping around
the
world.
It's all just dumb slapstick shit.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So like I've played XCOM and I've played a bunch of other of these kind of games, and my experience is you have a mission center and then you have a mission, and at the end of the mission there's like four bits of dialogue and then you go back to the mission center. So is it a different gameplay loop than that?
Not really.
Like, you walk through a level.
You kind of go through a level, you encounter, you know, these enemy areas, then you clear them. So it's all, like, there's a little hub world. There's Peach's Castle, which, by the way, has a great kind of reinterpretation of the Peach's Castle music from Mario 64.
There's some really good use of great Nintendo Mario music.
And it's basically the four worlds kind of branch off that. Mm-hmm. And so you set off into one of the worlds and you basically are just running, you know, right through a clear line up until you get to the boss.
Okay.
And then you retreat back to Peach's Castle. And in the course of that, you know, these new little story beats happen every now and then. You unlock new characters in little ways that kind of come up where there's a battle that you've got to clear in order to get this next character into your party. And again, the story is dumb, but it always is just, it, you know, you kind of understand the stakes of what's going on in this world enough to care about, like, having to get through to this.
And it's just the impetus to get to the next battle.
Yeah, the boss battle, I've only done one of them, which you would have done too, is great. And I can't wait to see the rest of the stuff that they, because they, the first boss just kind of switches up the mechanic of how the playing field works.
Right.
And
and doesn't expressly tell you exactly what it's doing.
Yeah.
You have to kind of figure it out for yourself, which is cool.
I've had that a bunch in some of the ones I've gotten up to in World 2 where, you're just in the area and you don't get told, hey, now this one can, you know, it moves like this and it's going to hit you like this.
Right.
You just kind of have to take your turn, get some shots in at it, and then it goes to their turn and it's like, oh, okay, that fucks me up. Like,
right.
So there is a lot of trial and error involved.
The biggest difference between something like this and XCOM, something like this, between this specifically.
yeah. I think you meant the opposite, yeah.
This is very much, it's a series of predetermined levels that you work your way through.
Right.
Whereas XCOM had some level of replayability added to it because it was, you know, some kind of randomness or things could change more than they can in this.
Yeah, sure. And just by nature of that being like, well, you beam into this area of the city or you beam into that one and you can choose between them and they're randomly generated half the time.
You can go back and play levels that you didn't do particularly. You'll get ranked afterwards.
Right. You get ranked based on, all your party members being alive and how many turns it took you.
Right.
So, you know, if you're someone that's into that sort of stuff, there is the impetus to go back and try and get like gold trophies on all of them.
Yep.
There's then at the end of each world, you unlock a new ability for getting around the map where you can then go back through the world you just cleared and, you know, you can push a block out of the way now. So there's a treasure chest hidden behind there that's going to get you a new gun and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, and there's skill trees for each of your characters.
There's skill trees so you can upgrade there, how they move around, like how many cells they can move around.
Yep.
And one of your moves you can – all characters can – do like a dash move through an opponent so they can just like not shoot them, just like
tackle
into them. So you upgrade, you can do three of them in a row or you can, you know, you can do one off the back of a jump, which you can't do to begin with. So, and they all, each characters have different versions of that. So once you start to upgrade
them. Different sort of specialties.
Yeah, and you go, oh, wow, now this person can jump off two people in a row, so they're going to be able to get really far. So now they're a real asset in battle and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I believe that the main story is not that long, but there is a lot of stuff crammed in here to go. And you can also, there's a co-op mode where you can go and play the challenges that you've finished, but with another person on a second controller.
I would really like to see, and I don't think this is in here, and I don't know what the plan for the DLC stuff they announced is, some sort of randomized infinite sort of, you know,
arcade mode.
That would be cool. They've said
I really like the core loop of the game. Like it's a really good take on this type of game.
Right. Yes. I this is going to sound dumb, but it sounds.
I was about to do the same thing, and I went, no, I'll defer to the great man because I'm sure he's got one up his sleeve.
It sounds like a Mario game of turn-based strategy. Like it sounds like they've gone, a Mario game is this. It's these levels, you move through them, you stop at certain points and do, and in a normal Mario game, a 3D game, it's you move through an overworld and you do platform levels. This, it's you move through a sort of overworld and do turn-based strategy levels. Like,
kind of, I would say even like, if you just took the individual encounters and took all the models out and just put, you know, triangles in or whatever.
Yep.
They came up with that first, and that is good. And then all the Mario trappings are kind of butted on the top of it. But
the thing is, like I was thinking, as much as like I say, you know, your party ultimately you'll end up having eight that you can choose between. So Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, and then rabid versions of them.
Yeah.
Which again, I go, well, imagine if it was eight, but it was like Wario and Waluigi and Donkey Kong and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it's pointless because it's not that game. But I was thinking about it and I was like, even if Mario was not in this and it was just a Rabbids game and I just had to be cool with that, I would still love it.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
You know what I mean? I would still be into it because it's like I'd go, well, whatever, they've made a great Rabbids game that just has this awesome strategy mechanic.
Right.
It's fun to be in this cartoony world, jumping around the place, flanking your enemies, taking cover, getting, because you do more damage from higher vantage points, so yeah, and you have warp pipes that will kind of take you further around the levels and you can use them to your advantage and stuff.
Okay,
and
it's kind of like the opposite of what I was getting the picture of then. It's more like they made a great turn-based strategy game and then put Mario on the top rather than the reverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That still sounds right.
Yeah, like I said, if Mario wasn't in it and it was like all that stuff was stripped out and it was just, you know, more in the Rabbids direction, I would have had no interest in it, and then I would have read the reviews and then I probably would have gone, fuck, I'd better check this out, and then I would still love it.
What if the style was
Mario
like what if the style was like Blade Runner? Like what if it was, you know, concrete and neon signs and black backgrounds, and like would it still be a good game that you'd want to play, or would it that be
I guess it would be for me.
Right.
It would be,
right.
Yeah. The mechanics just work. Like,
yeah, okay, cool.
If it was circles,
if it was a flash game, this would be a good game.
Yeah, yeah, great.
I wouldn't have been as inclined to take a look at it, and part of it, what I'm loving, is the charm of the way that the worlds are rendered and just, like, you know, it's interesting because it is very similar to Sonic Mania in the sense that it's just made by people who clearly have a really deep love for the source material.
Yeah, right.
And that's something I meant to kind of say in our review of that last week, is that I kind of wish Nintendo, rather than make a new Super Mario Brothers game again, would do something like Sega did, like give some fans all the sprite assets from Super Mario World and let them expand upon it and make their own levels if they want. Like, that would be so much more interesting to me than a new Super Mario Brothers game. But that's kind of what they've done with this.
Like new Super Mario Brothers as in new Super Mario Brothers. Like,
as in that the games that Nintendo make. The 2D Mario games at Nintendo that are just kind of devoid of any sort of creativity or any, it's like Lava World, know, Snow World.
Yeah.
Whereas that's what's, you know, with Sonic Mania, those guys kind of got to do all these like interesting new ideas.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I'd sort of, had forgotten that's basically what this is. These people came to them and went, Ubisoft came to them and went, we love Mario, can we have a crack? And they went, okay. And it's, I mean, on paper, this just sounds like it should be shit. It's Mario with rabbits and guns. Like, it should have been
made by a studio that does not have a great recent track record.
Exactly. Yeah. So
it totally works. It's great.
That's great. Yeah. That's a good sign for Ubisoft. Maybe that's,
Yeah, I think it's going to be a thing that I'm very looking forward to going all the way through, and I think it'll, I really have the drive to go and like, oh, because also when you finish a world, you then open up a bunch of, when you go back through it, there's all these little challenges in there.
Okay.
That are sort of like, they're just kind of like new versions of some of the battles that you've done, but instead it's like you have to do it in this many turns. So it's like, you know, just kind of putting these like new limits on stuff that you've done.
Does feel like something when once you've gone through it, it's done.
Yeah,
right.
Which is
totally
a bit of a shame since this genre typically is a very replayable sort of thing. But
Well, they've said
you die eventually.
They've said the DLC will be, there'll be some multiplayer stuff in there, and then next year there'll be story content.
Right.
So that to me, maybe more co-op maps or whatever.
Yeah.
I think a versus map would be great.
That'd be sick.
Like, it's a shame I really hope that's part of it. And the fact that people have responded well to it and
some kind of survival arena mode with leaderboards and shit would be cool.
Yeah, an online component. And then, there being new story stuff next year, that's cool. Like, maybe a couple of new characters from the Mario world or a new world in there or whatever. Yeah. Like,
That is fucking crazy. To say, hey, guess what? You're going to play a game with Mario and rabbits. It's like XCOM, and you're going to want to buy that fucking season pass, baby.
Man, I want to. I'm tempted. Even just the new weapons that you get. You get these little pixel style weapons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Wow. Yeah, Adam Sandler, Kevin James.
Oh, nice. Spade in there?
Spade's in there, bro.
Oh, fuck bro. That guy will say anything. Did you ever see Joe Dirt 2?
No.
Movie
I never saw
sucks.
Joe Dirt 1.
Man, there's a bit in Joe Dirt 2, just pixels reminded me of this, where it literally does, again, describing memes, the thing of, you know, the deal with it, where the sunglasses go on the person.
Oh, yeah.
It just does that in the movie.
Oh, really?
So they thought of that joke.
That sounds funny to me.
Man,
what happened in the past week? The screenwriter of Joe Dirt 2, he released like a blog post.
Oh, really?
Where it was the story for Joe Dirt 3, but he changed all the names a little bit.
Man.
It really gave me a lot of closure.
Nice. those are two of the big games this week, and I think they're definitely both worth your time and money.
You know what is also worth your time and money?
Mm.
A game that I played this week. I've only played the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have been recommending this.
Yes.
Nier Automata. It's how you pronounce Automata if it's not a game title.
Oh, is that an actual word?
Yes.
It
means
stupid.
Robot.
I should learn English one day.
I don't know a lot about this game other than that it was supposed to be really good. I played the first hour and it is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I love this game.
So one thing I posted in the group today is that, as of like next week, for me personally, there was like a big chunk of a lot of stuff I was really excited for that was all kind of coming out around the same time. That's kind of, it's now a bit of a dry spell for a couple of months. So I've now got this backlog of stuff where, and that is top of the list.
Oh,
of
man.
Stuff I want to go in
it's
on.
It's so good. So just like, I'll just tell you kind of like what I've done so far in a very kind of vague way. It opens with...
in a very vague way. We open
something opens. No, so you open and you're like, you're in a flying formation of kind of like fighter jets, it kind of looks like. And you're kind of going along and dialogue's happening and you know, people are like, oh, the mission up ahead, be aware of the, you know.
Again, you think this is vague. You've described every second of the game so far.
You know, like be aware, enemies up ahead, all that kind of stuff. And slowly like the other kind of jets get shot out of the sky. And then it kind of switches into a top-down, like a Galaga, like spaceship shooting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's enemies coming down. You're kind of like scrolling across the screen side by side, shooting stuff down. Then it goes into a like a mech, like a Gundam, like third-person, like robot fighting mode.
Gundam, I barely know him. Sorry, continue.
I don't think I can. And then it switches to like a Final Fantasy style static 3D worlds that you're moving around doing like combat in. It kind of transitions from that into melee with a gun as well. So you're like left brain, right brain, like doing melee combat with a gun that's like it just becomes this incredibly complicated but really, really natural feeling strange Japanese action RPG.
Right. Yeah.
The story is really strange, kind of like sci-fi. I think you're fighting against the robots. Maybe they've taken over. And it's just really intriguing and really interesting, and it just manages to flow between these different gameplay styles so elegantly and
naturally.
That's
the thing I've heard about it, is that there's all this different stuff going on, but yeah, you never go, what the fuck am I doing now? It just is so seamless.
Every time it transitions to something new, you're like, fuck yeah, this is awesome.
Right. Is it just sort of like it is designed in a way that you intuit what you're meant to do,
yeah,
or does it have like button prompts showing up?
It's mostly intuitive.
That's
it's
cool.
It, yeah, like I said, like it in itself is a vague and kind of strange game where it's not really spelling anything out.
Right.
It's so the story in the world is so strange, but it all just works perfectly.
Well, because the gimmick of the first one, and I think of this, not gimmick, it's a design, but like you kind of have to finish it like 20 times.
Apparently, yes.
But it changes a little bit every time and whatever.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I've only played the first hour, but like it's a fucking great hour.
Wow.
So, so it goes from that kind of Galaga stuff to some kind of like third person mech shooting, dodging, to, yeah, you kind of run of the mill hack and slash, to a kind of Shadow of the Colossus boss battle, and it's just interweaving these kind of weird story things the whole time, and it's just fantastic. I'm so excited to keep playing it.
Great.
That's cool.
Yeah, I gotta check it out.
I have the first Nier.
Mm.
I think it was free on the PS3, PSN thing at some point.
Right.
And I kind of want to play that first maybe, because apparently the stories don't necessarily require each other, but I just want to do that.
Yeah.
My question, which box of cereal did you get this game out of?
This was Frosty Flakes, whatever
nice.
That fucking one is. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I definitely, this is something I want to get to before the end of the year as well.
Yes.
Because I've been plugging back through Persona 5, not plugging, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because I want to wrap that up by the end of the year to be able to put it on a list, probably.
Mm, yeah. Check it twice.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like we should wrap it up for this week. What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So once again, if you want to support the show on Patreon, we would really appreciate that. Every little bit does count. So whatever you have to give, if you enjoy the show enough to chip in, we thank you very much for that. And we are going to start sending you out some, we think, cool stuff for that. We've also still got our premium episodes up on our Bandcamp. All of this stuff can be found at our website, filthycasuals.com.au. Thanks very much for listening. Please always get in touch with us. Our email address, our social medias are all on our website. We love hearing from you guys. And we are going to, in the next couple of weeks, get through some of that backlog of emails that we have sitting there and stuff. So we are reading everything you send us. So thank you for all that. Rate us on iTunes. Share this with a friend.
Mm.
Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Uncharted plus Rabbids review next week. Baby! We talked about them during this.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.